Hello everyone, and welcome back to a sneaky extra PSC in the middle of the proper ones. It's me and Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello. We just can't get enough of it, can we?
We thought, actually, there's a few things lingering around. And next week we've got Jim Fowle on, and he's going to have loads of interesting stuff to say about all sorts of devices that he's got in, he's getting in. He's also sent me over a keyboard, which we can talk about next week. So there's going to be tons of stuff to talk about next week. And we had a good one last week, so we thought we would just kind of fill in the gaps here. Might not be a very long show tonight, but we'll give it a go. Phoneshowchat.uk is our website, where you'll find links to all this stuff we're talking about tonight, and also tedsalmon.com is where you'll find all the other links out to audio podcasts and all the other MeWe groups. So we'll press on with this. It's the 4th of May, Joe.
Yeah, may the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. I wish I'd seen Star Trek, Star Wars sometimes, because it's all a bit lost on me.
Have you not seen it? Oh, wow.
Never seen it.
That'll be some homework.
No, I just have not got the interest. Gareth on Projector Room tries to get me to watch it sometimes, and I look at what it is, and I look at a trailer maybe. I think, I've got no interest in this claptrap at all, and it's just not for me at all. I'm sorry. But there you go. Right.
Not for everyone.
No. Let's see. Look, what we've got is a bit of feedback from the last... show from Ed House. Firstly, I'm with Ted on Google Pay versus physical wallets and cards. Can't be arsed with phone wallets nowadays. I have a club card credit card, so I get out the card, tap it twice, and I'm done. I'd rather risk someone swiping my wallet with not much in it, bar the cards, than my phone with all my digital stuff on. Hurrah! Thank you for your support, Ed. John Trimmer, your best friend, is next. He says, great show as always, chaps, and thanks for liking my photo. Coronation Street, Doncaster. On the subject of wallets, I'm having to use one at the moment for the first time in a while. I can't use my card in Google Wallet on my X300 Ultra, as Lloyds don't like Chinese ROMs. I have to say that I find it a pain in the arse having to remember to pick up an extra thing every time I leave the house. And lastly, Jim Fowle, the aforementioned, says, great show with David Burns last week. Hopefully the side phone will make an appearance in June. Could be the perfect pub phone, he says, and it will definitely do the PSC rounds. So maybe we'll get a chat with Jim about that one as well next week. So thank you, gents. Any comments?
Yeah, I knew John Chim would be on my side with the old wallet.
Wish you youngsters, whippersnappers. Malcolm Bryant is next on app usage stats. In the pod before last, I briefly mentioned a little utility app that I've been working on for Android phones and Wear OS watches. If you're curious, I shall link to his video in the show notes, which demonstrates it. The idea is that you can see a snapshot of your recent app use, including how much mobile Wi-Fi data has been used, or build a longer-term view to answer the question that Steve Litchfield asked, how many hours did I spend on YouTube over the last week, month, year? The app itself is nothing fancy, but it's completely free, of course. Well done, Malcolm. There's also a second video, which I'll link to as well, about how to install the app and grant the permissions and blah, 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 blah. He also mentioned the OnePlus Watch 4. This is following not a PSC discussion, but one that Gareth and I had on Tech Addicts. It's now out of season, so I'll feed it back here. Interesting discussion on the OnePlus Watch 4. Yes, Wear OS watches in general have much worse battery life than Garmin and other brands that are not Wear OS, like the lovely Moto watch fit. For some people, extended battery life between charges is a key requirement. For other people, including me, an overnight charge along their alongside their phone is perfectly acceptable. Horses for courses, says Malcolm. The OnePlus Watch 4 tries to mitigate this somewhat successfully with its dual processor architecture. However, a limitation is that the RTOS Wear OS handoff is clunky and breaks some features that are taken for granted on mainstream Wear OS watches. For example, there's no LTE variant. I assume because they haven't figured out how to make that work with dual processors. So there you go. A bit of a deep dive on a couple of things there from Malcolm. I'll make sure all the links for that are in the show notes. But we did talk on Tech Addicts about the OnePlus Watch 4, not on PSC. Do you fancy that one?
Yeah, I do. I think it's quite funny. You said about how it's a bit stinky wearing it sleep tracking, and I do exactly that. But yeah. I must agree. You do have to give it a bit of a clean every now and again, and it does depend what strap you've got on there. The rubbery sort of ones that come with the watches, they're awful for sleep tracking. They're really the worst ones for kicking up a stink. yeah, I agree.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like a lovely watch, though.
Yeah, it certainly does. As was the two that you sent over for me to have a look at. They are very nicely made. Right, who's next? Gareth Williams is next. He is feeding back on the Next Paper 60 Ultra that I sent over to him, and he really liked it. He almost fell in love with it, but didn't quite. I'll link to his review, his thoughts in the show notes, which I put on my blog, so you can follow through there and have a read of it if you haven't already. But his general conclusion was that there's so much to love about TCL Next Paper, so much to like. They've done really well with this. The 60 Ultra outshines for him the 50 Pro, but it's clear that what he wants really is the OLED version. He recognizes that the screen is really, really good, and it's got lots of benefits, including how it feels and reacts and the e-ink like display, but he wants an OLED version, which is coming apparently, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fair comment as well, isn't it? Yeah, I think it does miss a little bit on the screen, but you accept that because of how lovely it is to the feel. But yeah, I can see why he has them comments for sure. I like what you followed up with this with, though.
What, Ian Furlong's TCL Next Paper 70 Pro. Ian Furlong is over at Cool Smartphone. Now, the 70 Pro, we knew before he did his review, is something of a downgrade from the 60 Ultra. And I think that everyone acknowledges that. It's a bit smaller. It's not so clever. The chipset's not as good. There's a few things that is not so good about it. But laying that aside, you know, Ian has gone into this positively, and he says that he really likes the screen. No glare, no fingerprints, no grit. The Next Paper key is the most useful physical button on any phone today. The 512 gigabytes of storage and micro SD is huge and massive and great. IP68 is really good, so properly waterproof. The battery has been lasting him 7 days without being charged. I'm not sure that he says 7 days on what screen thingy, but 7 days is really good at any standard, I suppose, even if it's the lowest one. However, at 6.9 inches, it's a bit of a pocket burster, he says, and the charging is a bit slow for his liking. And of course, you wouldn't be buying this if you wanted to do any gaming or anything demanding on it. He says that it's not a flagship killer, but it is a lifestyle fixer. It's a nice little tagline, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. I like the bit where he talks about detox at 9 p.m, where he sticks it in max ink mode.
Hmm.
Yeah, that case looks brilliant, doesn't it, with the pen?
Yeah, it does. You're right. That gives the pen somewhere to go. Motorola.
Yes.
Which are not providing us. I think the next generation Motorola devices, they've got to do a silo of some sort, because it's so inconvenient to, and they did it with the G stylus for the last few years. They've always put the pen inside, whether it's something to do with space or the Bluetooth nature of the new pens or whatever, I don't know. But having it in that little case to carry in another pocket, it's just like, have you found
that? Cigar.
Yeah. have you found that already? It's just annoying that you might not have it with you.
Well, yeah, because it's always already the case with my Honor one, because as lovely as the case is, it's an extra thing to bring out with you in your bag or a pocket. So, yeah, I agree. It's much nicer. Actually, I commented on someone, one of my videos, that's talking about the Honor pen, and I was comparing it to, strangely, to the S25 Ultra. And I said, well, I'd use the pen more on the S25 Ultra. So there's pros and cons.
I'll tell you what, have you tested the pen on the Motorola yet to see if it will charge in and around the device as opposed to in the silo? Or is that the only way it will charge? I meant to check that on my signature to see if it would, if you could like stick it on the back and it will charge or something. Have you tried that?
I haven't yet, no, but it would be interesting to explore that. Because you have to click into the case, don't you, as well, to...
Yes.
But surely, be interesting to investigate.
Yeah, well, there's more to do with the S Pen. S Pen? Well, it's a Freudian slip. There's more to do with the Moto Pen Ultra for both of us, and we'll come to that shortly. But first, the news. The Volaphone Plinius. And the Volaphone Plinius Plus, which I can't remember much about now. I put this story up here. It's a rugged phone that is robust, strong, and yet slim. And it's a bit of a dumb phone because it doesn't do much. It costs $700. Well, actually, the base one is $600. And the plus version is $700, but this is not a cheap device. But it does look absolutely lovely. It looks like a Leica, actually. It looks like a Leica phone, camera. With red accents and red buttons. It's got apparently a half decent camera, a nice display, 6.67 inches, so it's not small, but it is an OLED panel. You can also get the battery out by the looks of it. It's got a 5300 milliamp hour battery, and it's available, as I say, in those two different, one of them is supposed to, the Plinius is supposed to be available now, but it's still as on their website as pre-order, not as available, so not sure what that's about. And the other one's coming out in June. So if you look through the specs down there, you know, this is not going to blow anyone's socks off in terms of PSC, but it looks like quite an interesting device that will actually run two different operating systems, so you can take your pick with how Googleized you want it to be, or how Linuxized you want it to be, with Ubuntu Touch in
Ubuntu
the mix.
Ubuntu Touch, yeah.
But Vola OS is the thing that might be worth a look. Their own Google-free... it is Android, but it's a Google-free operating system, and it will be very interesting to look at. Maybe Jim next week will have a view on this as well.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see his thoughts. There's some interesting thing going on with this, like the little splash of colour with the inlays you can get. And I do, like you say, like that red accent button. We've got like a texture to it as well. It's quite heavy. It's 230 grams.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's a bit of a beast. Is that for both of them? Where's the weight of the other? Yeah, they are. They're both the same weight, aren't they?
It's quite interesting. The Plus has them pogo pins on the back.
I missed that. So what do they do? Accessories?
I'm assuming so, yeah. Extra durable back with pogo pin. It's got to be for a little accessories to attach on, isn't it?
I suppose so, yeah. Mass boot.
Interesting.
Anyway, we'll probably revisit this one as time goes on. In the meantime, Sony is shutting down their Music Pro app on Xperia phones. Now, you say boo, but actually, when Steve and I have reviewed the Xperia phones over the years, we both concluded that after this Music Pro app arrived, firstly, there was two things, really. Firstly, in order to use it to its fullest, you have to pay Sony £5 a month to send off your audio files to them, and then they reprocess them and send them back to you and blah blah blah, make them all better and polish them up and professionalize the audio, blah blah blah. Very nice, well done. They're charging £5 a month. But the bigger thing for both of us was that recordings on this app are capped at 10 minutes. I was, when it first arrived here, I had visions of it being a backup recording for podcasting. And I thought, yeah, that'd be all right. Instead of having a, you know, just a Zoom recorder or a backup on your computer, you can put the Xperia phone down and use that to do a backup recording. But no, 10 minutes for each file, and that's it. No reason why, whether they were frightened of the phone getting hot or whatever, I don't know, but they've obviously decided that it's a no-go, probably because they've got no one shelling out £5 a month and nobody wants it, because the other thing we concluded, really, was that if you're a professional musician, really, you're going to have a studio full of stuff, very likely, that you're using to do this kind of recording stuff with anyway.
Well, that's what my comment was going to be, Ted. Yeah. It's not very pro, giving you only 10 minutes. What type of pro? Yeah.
Exactly. Right, Soundcore is dead. Long live Anchor Audio Visual. Apparently, Anchor have decided to abandon the Soundcore brand, but nothing's changing except the name. Everything's carrying on as it was, but they're going to call it Anchor Audio Visual. And the only reason I mention this is that we're all fans of Anchor stuff and Soundcore stuff as well, and we think that they're a great brand. We're always talking about them on all of our podcasts, and it just might be of interest. And a heads up for anyone looking for Soundcore stuff in the coming weeks and months and wondering where it's gone.
Yeah, so I do like the Soundcore brand, but it does make sense, I guess, to consolidate things. Plus Anchor's the more well-known name, isn't it?
Indeed it is. And lastly, something you were talking to Sam about last night on your Nomad Tech Project pod, which I was watching late last night, which was OnePlus and Realme merging. So yes. Have you got anything to add about that?
Yeah, I just I mean, it's a good news, isn't it, that OnePlus aren't disappearing totally, because that was a bit of a fear for me when we first heard the news. So I've seen on LinkedIn loads of people were leaving OnePlus for work, so I was scared that I was getting totally dissolved. But yeah, this is good news in a way. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. I mean, they've both brands have left the European market, though, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah. Well, Realme did a while back.
Did they?
Maybe there's plans to bring them back, though.
Realme, we used to have a relationship with Realme. I remember Steve used to get phones from them, and I've reviewed, I think, at least two of them. And some of them were really nice, and and then it suddenly dried up. Perhaps it dried up, and I've forgotten at the time when Realme left the European market. I've completely forgotten that. So,
yeah,
I do remember them being half-decent phones.
Very flagship killer sort of phones, really good value, but high spec. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, though. I think it's good news.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, let's see what happens.
Okay. Right. Over to Joe's throws.
Yeah, I've not got loads of throws. I definitely got to talk about the Razer Fold, though. I'm not a fan of the case. I think Gary says the same in his review, actually. The case that comes in the box isn't like the other cases that we've had in the Signature and the Edge. It feels more plasticky and cheaper.
Just to clarify, that's Gary Clark, Average Dad,
yes,
where he did an unboxing. I'll put the link of that into the show notes. But, yeah, carry on.
He's done a written review as well, hasn't he?
Has he?
On Average Dad's. Yeah, I'll get the link for that later.
Okay.
But yeah, the case is very plasticky. It adds a lot more bulk to the Razer Fold as well. So I'm probably going to switch that out at some point. I mean, it's got the cutouts in nice places. It's got like a nice texture to one of the AI button. So there is some nice things about it, but I reckon I can get a nicer case. The good thing, though, it does show off the lovely gold FIFA and Moto logo on the back, which if you're going to get this limited edition version, you want that to be showing, don't you?
Yes.
But, yeah, I got a good deal, so I can't complain. Yes. I wouldn't fork out full price for it, that's for sure. No way. I think you'd be better off getting the normal Fold if that was the case. And actually, yeah. I prefer the finishes on the normal Fold versions, I'd say. I haven't tested it enough yet, but it does seem like a lovely piece of hardware. For this to be Moto Razer's first Fold, it really is quite impressive. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having a good deep dive and play with this. So watch out for more of that.
It's interesting to see that they've matched the Signature's 7 OS updates on this device as well. Now, this is a folding phone, and it's their first book-style folder, and you might think that they would be a bit wary about offering 7 OS updates and years of security patching. And I don't know what they're doing about guarantees, but it's 7 years is a long way into the future for a folding phone, I think. Which is why I think they've capped the Razer 60 Ultra and I think 70 Ultra as well at three OS updates. So there's that. So the big question is how this is going to compare with your V5, the Honor Magic V5, isn't it? And whether it's going to be as good. The pen came with it, didn't it?
It did in the box for this version, yeah, which was really nice. I'm going to put an unboxing together, a short unboxing video. You get the case in the box, the pen, and it's weird. It's like a big box, so it feels more premium, which is quite nice. But, yeah, I mean, there's still no plug in the box, of course, which is always frustrating. going with the specs, though, Ted, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Like, mm-hmm. It's some are really premium, and you can see others where they've cut back a bit. Because you'd think it would have the Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5, wouldn't you, being their flagship Fold. But no, it's got the 8, I think it's the 8 5, is it?
It's got the 8, yeah, the Snapdragon 8 Gen 5 instead of the 8 Elite.
Yeah, so to say it's similar... Similar, do you know what? It's like they've taken a signature and made it a Fold.
Mm.
It's very quite similar. So the cameras are quite good in spec, so I'm quite looking forward to testing that out. It weighs 243 grams, so it isn't light, but it doesn't feel unbalanced. It feels quite nice in the hand, though.
Three times optical zoom. That's the same as your Honor, isn't it?
Yeah, just quite similar spec there, and decently sized sensor, 1/1.95 on the telephoto. It's 1/1.28 on the main, which is, I think that is the same as the Signature.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, it does look very similar.
Hmm.
And if that is the case, that's a very nice camera system. 6,000 milliamp hour battery, though, that's nice. That's a very good size battery for a foldable.
It is, yeah.
80 watt wired charging, 50 watt wireless.
That must be in two halves, mustn't it?
It must be, yeah.
The battery, yeah. But that's okay. What else? I'd be interested to see what the speakers are like, because the speakers on the Signature are really, fantastic. Really very good. Yeah. They're very impressive. And they're second only really to my Pixel Fold, original generation Pixel Fold. I do think that has the edge, but the Signature is very impressive for sure. This Fold has got a slightly bigger inside screen than your Magic V5.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah, it is
not
a lovely,
much, but
It is noticeable, though, I think, when I open them up. But yeah, I think they're going to be quite comparable.
I think I prefer the centralised round camera on the Honor, to be honest, rather than the kind of offset to one side one on the Razor.
Oh, on the outside, you mean? But
yeah.
But then in the inside, they've put the little punch hole camera right in the far corner, which is much nicer.
Right.
Positioning. So, there's pros and cons on both. It's going to be very interesting to compare. Very interesting indeed. But I think first impressions is Moto have done a fantastic job, really fantastic job.
Yeah, and it will be really interesting to see how you get on with that, because it's a Motorola. And
yes,
we like a Motorola, don't we?
We do indeed. And talking of Motorola, I wanted to talk about the new Razor lineup.
Okay.
Specifically the Razor Ultra, which you've got your hands back on the 60 Ultra.
Yeah.
There's not a great deal of difference. If anyone's got a 60 Ultra, I wouldn't say it's worth upgrading that much. I think the only thing that really appeals to me is that extra 300 milliamp hour battery. It's now 5,000, isn't it, rather than 4,700, which may make a little difference there. But overall, there's not much there, is there, Ted? The same chipset, pretty much the same size, charging's the same. I can't see much else, can you?
No, I think that it's a real iterative upgrade. It's an evolution of the last year, and it's probably reflective of the way that phones to some degree are going, which we've been seeing over the last few years. Motorola have taken time to catch up with Apple and Google and Samsung particularly, and they've seemed to be treading a middle road between the wacky Far East, what's going on over there, and the kind of conservative mainstream characters that I just described. And maybe they've taken some time to catch up with the big boys, but perhaps now they're realizing the same thing as the others did, is that things are going to plateau. We found a formula that works, which Samsung might well say, well, you might say it's boring, but actually we found a formula that works, and they'll kind of sit with it. The signature effectively was a 70 Ultra, which is an iteration of the 50 Ultra, and the, as you say, the Razor flip phones are, well, apart from the size of the outside screen, the Razor flip phones have been pretty much the same throughout the last few years as well. So
just improvements on the hinges and probably subtle things that you may notice when you get hands on with it, maybe. But the Motorola, it's that they're obviously going a certain angle with fashion, aren't they? Which is obviously why they picked me and you as motivators, because we're very fashionable. fashionable people, us. But the finishes are beautiful.
I do get what you mean. They love their colours, don't they? They love their Pantone thing and their Swarovski thing or whatever it's called, and the
Alcantara,
the bling. And so they certainly are going a slightly different way in terms of the conservative crowd in that respect. You're right.
And like you say, they found what's working for them, and they're running with it. It makes sense. And to be honest, I do quite like that they're quite unique in that sense with their finishes on every phone you have. It's very different, isn't it? The finish you get and the colours you get. But I do like the fact that they're starting to add the Pantone stuff into the camera for the colour. That's quite good, because a lot of screens use Pantone certified colours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which I only found out when I was researching for the signature.
Talking of which, you put your review of the signature up on your YouTube channel now. And apart from spelling aluminium the wrong way,
Ted, you had to say it, didn't you? You had to. It was a typo, by the way. It's not Sam's influence.
You little American, you.
I like aluminium.
It was really interesting, and well done, and it kind of got the message out there about what it was about. You know, in tandem with my written review, I reckon that our friends at Motor will be pleased with our coverage, don't you?
They better be.
Yeah.
If not, they can do one.
Yeah. Anything to add about the signature, or have we kind of been through that and done that, or...?
I'd say I do miss it. I really did enjoy that device. I think if anyone wants a quite high-end phone but not pay out over £1,000, it's a really good option. The camera system's great. The chipset's more than powerful enough. The screen is absolutely beautiful. And like you said earlier, the speakers are fantastic. You've got an all-round device there that is really good. So I can highly recommend it.
If only the battery was bigger.
Yes, we both said that, didn't we? Look, we'd take it a little bit thicker for a bit more battery in there. Maybe Signature 2 in the future will give us that.
And a pen silo.
Yeah.
You see, if they put a pen silo in, it would have to be thicker, so then they could use the extra space for the battery.
Yeah, although they'd probably give us the same battery and say the space had to be used for the pen. Even if they did like first party cases that the pen could sit in, that would be good enough for me. Mm-hmm. I'd say. It's really promising what Moto are doing this year. Mm-hmm. I know people say we're super fans, but we're both, as much as the Edge 70 is nice, we've both said there's negatives against that. Yeah. So we're not just saying these good things for the sake of it. They really are doing some great stuff.
Talking of the Edge 70, you've got the Edge 70 there at the same time as me, and that's going to be adding to your work list of getting something out for that as well, presumably. Have you moved towards starting to look at that?
Yeah, I've brought it to work for me the last few days, and just so I can start having a feel for it. And do you know what? For my small hands, the size is actually very, very nice, actually. Mm-hmm. Nice and light as well. I said that about the signature, and this actually feels like there's hardly anything in my hand. Mm. I mean, the cameras aren't going to be anywhere near as good, that's for sure. But that's not what this device is all about, really, is it? Again, it's going down that fashion side of things.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. One thing I do hate, which I mentioned to you, is the little Pantone, looks like a sticker on the back. Yeah. Which reminds me of, you know, on laptops you get the stickers.
Yep.
With the chipset in it. That's what it reminds me of, and it just that annoys me a little. I know it's a cosmetic thing, but yeah, I don't think it should be there.
Well, it's a Pantone thing, isn't it? Mind you, yeah. It's surely no worse than your FIFA sticker, is it?
Well, no, that's in gold, Ted. That's very special.
Yeah, it's just branding, isn't it? Pantone branding on one and FIFA on the other, and yeah,
just, sure. With this, though, it everything about it looks very premium. And then the Pantone, I don't know, I think it's the white part of it. It just doesn't fit for me. It doesn't look right. Like even like the one I've got here has got lovely blue accent around the camera rings and on one of the buttons, a nice brushed metal finish on the frame. It looks really premium. Mm. And then there's Pantone sticker.
What colour is your one?
Gadget Grey, I believe, is the official colour.
I think
colour.
It's the same as mine. So have you got a blue accent on the Moto AI button?
Yeah, and it's beautiful. Yeah, I love it.
That's really nice. And also the blue, if you hold it right, you can see the blue around the camera lenses as well.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, that's really nice. I do like that accenting. It's a shame that the blue accenting is not on the buttons the other side, because that would make it as well. But I do agree with you, particularly if you take that great big case off of it, which I've taken the case off of my signature now as well, because without the case on it, it's so much slimmer. I'm not saying it's as slim as this Edge 70, but it is certainly miles slimmer, and it just sits in the hand really comfortably. And I'm beginning to think that I'm changing, you know. I don't want cases anymore.
Well, but yeah, I mean, I've always liked phones without cases. I've just never had the guts to do it, if I'm honest. They always feel much nicer to me. Well, I say that, but the glass is another reason. Glass backs, for me, too slippery most of the time. But all motos have a nice texture, don't they?
This is the Edge 70, on the back of it, you're right, it feels really, really nice, because it's that kind of cloth material stuff, which is, well, it's not quite the same as the Signature, but it's got a texture to it, and it feels quite nice, and so you can kind of grab onto it. But the whole thing here is about the thinness, isn't it? It's, you know, they're trying to just keep up with the whole Air thing, and, you know, if someone else is doing it, they'll have a go at doing it, and I don't think that this will stick, to be honest. I think that this will be probably a one-off, and they'll be going back to normal sizes after this, like most of the other people that follow the Air trend did. The only problem is, really, it feels like, I think I might have said this on the last show, it feels like at £699, it's too expensive. And I noticed that still now, today, it's £499 on Amazon UK and on Motorola's UK website. So I think someone has kind of wised up and said, hang on a minute, we can't charge £700 for this because it's not worth it. Thin and air-like as it is, you know. And to be honest, as I said before, I think that the extra you pay to get the Signature over the £700, £699 and jump to the Signature, you get so much more in the Signature. I know it's a bit fatter and it's a bit bigger all round, but you just get so much more. But it's a nice enough device, don't get me wrong. And if it had an always-on display, you know I was going to say that, didn't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
An always-on display is missing, Moto. Why? Why, Motorola, would you not have an always-on display on this device? And I guess it's because of battery, LTPO, and all of that sort of thing. But come on, I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, pull yourself together.
Yeah, it's got to be about the battery, hasn't it? It's 4,800 milliamp hour battery, but it's silicon carbon, which is what most of theirs are now, aren't they? But yeah, I think, for like you say, 499 does feel about right for it.
Yeah,
699. Moto tend to do that because I think the Signature is a fair price, but quite often with their other devices, I think, oh, that's a hundred or two more than it should be.
Yes, yeah, and they know themselves jolly well that those prices will come down pretty quickly. You know, within 3 months of launches, they're lopping, as indeed they have with this Edge 70. You know, it's £499 everywhere basically. And how long has it been out? I can't remember when it was released. Now, was it October? Yeah, October 25. So, how many months is that? About 6 months ago, and it's down by £200. So Moto know that this is going to happen. The Signature probably will be down to £700 in 6 months. So,
which would be an absolute steal. This is the strategy they're all using. They want to do the same, don't they? It's a strategy a lot of businesses use. Try and get what they can for it, and then give it, and then sell it at the actual price it's worth.
Yeah, exactly. So I like the Edge 70. I think it's nice. It's probably not for me. A bit like we were saying about flip phones, really. It's not for me. If I'm going to go down that road, I'd rather have the Signature. And I'm glad that I've got the Signature. There you have it. Links in the show notes to all of that stuff. Joe's unboxing of the Signature, my text review, Joe's video review, which we just referenced, the Moto Watch Fit review for me, and there's also links in there to the Buds Loop and the Moto Pen Ultra. I'm going to try and do some sort of review on the Moto Pen Ultra soon, and hopefully you'll include that in your Fold coverage whenever it comes. Of course, you, as you've bought your Razer Fold, you haven't got to do a review now, have you?
No, but I'm definitely going to. Because it's one I'm keen to do. And talking about the other stuff you just mentioned, I've got the Buds Loop and the Moto Watch, which I'll be touching on eventually as well.
Well, that's the new round watch.
Yeah. So I've got this special edition with the metal and sports strap. I'm quite excited to have a play with them as well.
Cool. And in the meantime, I don't know if we're allowed to say this on air. We'll cut it out if we're not. You're going to let me borrow the Honor Magic V5 this week.
So I can, yes, definitely,
eventually, yeah, see what it's all about and see why you've been so wowed with it for such a long time, and give it a run. I have still got the Honor 400 Pro here, which is about to be loaned out for someone who wants to see it, but I'll hold on to it until I get the Fold, the V5 here, so I can do the kind of switch over, and I should be very interested to see what it's all about. Are you going to send me the pen as well?
Yeah, no, I've got to. Yeah, you've got to have a cool play with that as well. Yeah,
great. And I shall see how that compares with the Signature and the Signature's pen as well. So thank you for letting me in on that. It's
exciting. Need things to talk about, don't we? So
well, we seem to have quite a lot, actually, but
yeah, to be fair, we don't struggle, do we? No.
Yeah, so the Razer Fold FIFA World Cup edition, eh?
Yeah.
Very exciting.
It is indeed. Yeah, I mean, again, this is their strategy, isn't it? It's a more, that's not getting tech fans, that's trying to get the football fans.
Because
the FIFA, there's a whole FIFA range, isn't there? Because there's a Razer flip phone, which is FIFA branded, and I think there's even an Edge, I believe, Edge 70.
It's all fashion, though, isn't it? It's because because the World Cup is on, and they're getting in on the whole World Cup thing, you see. And presumably, by doing this deal with FIFA, when they've got these World Cup matches running, they'll have their Moto banners all around the edge of the pitch all the time. There's some big deal been done, isn't there? A sponsorship deal. Which even goes through to putting a sticker on the back of your phone.
Because they're all doing it because Oppo are the official smartphone partner for the Champions League, aren't they?
Right.
So, football, look at Snapdragon, they sponsor Manchester United. There's a lot of a scope there for brands, mobile brands.
Cool. Right, okay then. So that's that. That's the motor done. My SIM card this week, when I started the week, it was in the Xperia 5 Mark V, and I was really enjoying a few days of using the Sony, and that was great, and it was very clean and very nice. But at the end of this week, my SIM card is actually in the Pixel Fold, believe it or not, the original generation Pixel Fold. I thought it's about time I sat down and did some sort of writing about the Pixel Fold. 3 years on, and it's still very attractive to be using. One of the things that spurred me on was also that the now third mentioned Jim Fowle, who's coming on next week, has also just bought a Pixel Fold. So that's going to be something else to talk about next week as well. But in the meantime, I shall crack on and get this Pixel Fold review. It's kind of not so much a review as a kind of retrospective almost about is it still okay to be using this 3-year-old original generation phone in 2026, and actually spurred on probably by the fact that, as we mentioned before, the the whole thing about Samsung and possibly Apple and others doing this whole kind of wide passport style device this year. So it's all kind of a bit, you know, current and trendy, I suppose, to be talking about it again. And I'm pleased that I've still got my Pixel Fold. I held on to it and didn't sew it on. And I've been enjoying visiting it again. So that's where my SIM card is today. What about you?
Mine is in my V5 until I take it out tomorrow to send it to you.
Oh, dear. You sound as though you're not wanting to take it out now.
To be fair, no, I am, because I want to get it into the Moto Razr Fold. So I think it'd be healthy for me to get rid of the V5 for a bit. And I am keen to hear your thoughts, actually, especially as you're getting an appetite for Fold right now, with the Pixel Fold. So, yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah, cool. Right, okay then. So what's next? Let's talk about Photograph of the Week. And before we come to that, I just wanted to give people a reminder about what's going on with the PSC Photography podcast, which came from the Camera Creations podcast after we decided that we would include phones and not just cameras in the what is now called the PSC Camera Creations MeWe group. Very confusing. I did put out an infographic about it all, whereby the three feeder group, so PSC Photos remains for competition purposes. So what people should really be doing is putting photographs into PSC Photos that are artistic and worthy of considering for competition, our little fun competition. And other stuff they ought to be putting into now PSC Camera Creations for discussion on the PSC Photography podcast, which used to be Camera Creations podcast. And also, the third arm of this is PSC Videos, which hasn't got very many members, I have to say, but the videos shot with those can also be included in the PSC Photography podcast. So it's all change, and hopefully people can catch up with that. If you are a bit confused with it all, then do have a look at that infographic which I put up, and hopefully that'll become a bit clearer. We're also recording on Thursday our first rebadged podcast, so that will be the first of the PSC Photography podcasts, and then we'll no doubt have this discussion again when we run that podcast on Thursday. So what do you reckon?
I reckon you're getting rather good at your prompts to make these infographics and pictures you make with your assistant Gemma.
Yeah,
it's really good.
She's very good.
But it's all your prompts, Ted. It's all your prompts.
She actually, that infographic I worked hard with her on, because she kept doing it wrong. And but to be fair, I was very specific. I said, these are the words I want underneath where it says PSC Photographs. Everything else is all right. And so just change that to this. And off she went and did it. And she did exactly as she was told. And I was very impressed. I thought, something's going to cock up here and she'll change something else wrong. But no, she was very good.
It's an interesting point, Ted, actually, like with AI. It is about being very precise with your prompts.
Yeah.
And that's when you get more success. So, yeah, it is an interesting point.
Indeed. Right, photo of the week, what's yours?
I've gone for Wells Next the Sea by Ian Bundy with a Magic 8 Pro. I just love the really massive negative space above and the little person in there. I think it'd be a fantastic wallpaper for your phone. And as this is PSC, I thought it was very fitting.
Yeah, it's a very nice picture. Loads and loads of open space. It's very artistic, isn't it? So I do agree with you. It looks really nice. And the sky is it's completely spotless, isn't it? I wonder if he... this was taken with a on a Magic 8 Pro. I wonder if he did any tidying up of that, or that sky really was that blue. but also the, you know, the line is just the line of where the figure is walking is just in the right place in the frame as well, I think.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah,
yeah, looking over this kind of water inlet and then into more sand reminds me of Wittering. West Wittering used to look like that, the foreground of the sand is really nice colour. Lovely lighting as well.
Actually, that mention of that water is quite an important element, I think, to break that sand up a little bit and reflect that blue lower down.
Yeah, yeah. Really nice, yeah. Really nice image. You're right. I picked one from Ahmed Bibars, and it's a foodie photo. I do like foodie photos. Part of it is because I really like close-ups, macro stuff, as you know. But food just makes, I think it makes for a great subject. This one is called Oriental Sausages with Egyptian Spices. And he's taken this with his Samsung Galaxy A24. Very close up. Lovely focus on the bits that matter. Focus thrown out towards the back and grading away as we go through the frame with the point of focus at about, you know, a third of the way in, and it just looks delicious. I suppose the reason I like food photographs is because I'm a greedy pig, and I just get a watering mouth whenever I see something like this. But those sausages just look absolutely gorgeous, and the colours as well, the reds that are pulled out and the greens just work really well. I think it's very nice. Any thoughts on that?
I'm with you, Ted. I'm also a greedy pig. And I think the word for this one is juicy.
Yeah.
It looks very juicy.
So, yeah, well done. Very nice, Ahmed. Very nice shot indeed. Right, let's do an on-the-fly visit to the classifieds, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
See if we can find anything in there worthy of note. I'll go first, shall I?
Yeah, go on then.
The first thing I've got to is the Lights phone, which Chris Bates is selling for 1,400 quid, which sounds a lot, but it's a lot there. You know, the whole kind of kit is there, and it looks a lovely little bundle, which Gavin was talking to us about on the show not long ago. So the Lights phone, like also known as the Xiaomi 17 Ultra, Leica edition, and it looks great, doesn't it? If only one of us had £1,400 to spend instead of giving it to FIFA, then we could have got this. That would be my pick, I think. Anything from you?
I mean, that's the standout pick, isn't it? It's with someone else's money, I would definitely be grabbing that. That's a fantastic bit of kit, as Gavin well told us. I saw the OnePlus Watch 2 went back up and sold. Which I'm pleased to see, because it was a real steal at 60 quid. What else is there? I saw a Samsung Note 9. That made me chuckle.
Wow.
If someone wanted something for their collection, it's in very good condition. And some people may want to start collecting some items like that. I don't know.
Brilliant. How much is that? 120 quid?
Yeah.
Very nice indeed. That one sold. Yogesh is selling a Vivo X300 Pro, 512 gigabytes, in a lovely beige colour, 830 quid, which looked really nice. You like the old Vivos, don't you?
Yeah, that's a wonderful device. I'd love to get the Ultra because I've heard the video is fantastic on the Ultra. But then, in saying that, I take more stills than I do video, so I shouldn't be buy a phone on that basis, really. I saw a Surface Pro 8 sold as well, which was a good deal. 330 quid. A lovely machine.
Mark McCanley is selling his Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra, 256 gigabytes, brand new in box, sealed. Silver Shadow, and he missed the return window. So he's obviously got far too much money. He's ordered a phone and put it in a drawer and then forgot it was there and then missed the return window. And so he's now selling it. It's 900 quid, but I think that's a bit of a bargain because it's, as he says, completely brand new, and he's bought it from Samsung Direct. If you look on the lookout for one of those, very, very nice indeed.
Very trustworthy bloke as well, definitely. And that Silver Shadow is gorgeous, actually, the colour.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another OnePlus watch on there, isn't there, as well? Yeah. The Watch Lite in silver steel for 100 quid.
Oh, it looks like it's sold, doesn't it?
Has it sold as well?
It looks that like one, it probably has.
It's good that things are selling.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. A pair of headphones there. There's a Pixel. Oh, I do like that blue Pixel colour. What's it called? I can't remember now.
Indigo.
Is it in? No. Is it? No. Indigo is red.
That's what it's listed as.
Is it
brand new Indigo?
I thought Indigo was that red colour that the new Moto is in. No.
Have a look. Indigo. I'm going to do it on the fly right now. Indigo okay. Pixel 10.
While they're doing that, I'll have a look. Anyway, so that blue colour is really, really nice. The only problem with me, Ashok Parchuri is selling this Pixel 10, 128 gigabytes. That's my only problem. But for someone else who doesn't care about the storage, 380 quid, that's a really nice-looking phone.
Yeah, because it's a very good phone for that price, and that colour is nice. I'm a big fan of it myself as well. Mm. Probably the nicest colour, I'd say, actually.
And is it called Indigo, the blue?
I don't know. Right, here we go. Let's press buy.
Indigo.
Yes, it is Indigo.
Is it? Oh, right. Yeah. So what's the colour of that new red Motorola you were talking about the other day? So they've released a new colour of the... What was it? The signature?
Oh, it's indigo violet.
Oh, okay. So indigo is not the colour. Indigo means something else then.
Well, indigo is like a blue, isn't it? But then I guess they're saying it's a splash of violet in there as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's one of the Swarovski ones, isn't it? Fancy.
Right. What else? Have we got anything else to talk about, or should we wrap it up?
Everyone seems to want an X9 Pro. I've noticed there's two wanted X9 Pro, Matt's Leg and Tundo, both want one. I don't think there's much else to talk about.
Except poor old Kev, who can't sell his Meta Quest 3 Plus accessories. Meta Quest 3 plus accessories. He's been trying really hard to sell that, and no one seems to be interested. It's a real shame.
I'd love to have a play with one, but I just know I don't have the time. That's the problem. Yeah. And maybe that's the same for some of the others.
Yeah. What about
a kit, though?
Yeah, yeah. What about a... that's an unusual one. A TP-Link router from Chris Bates. Yeah, you don't see those very often.
Wi-Fi 7.
Yeah, yeah, 100 quid. Very nice. Right, okay then, that's enough of that. Let's jump back to our recording notes and see if there's anything else we want to talk about before we wrap it up. We could talk about the fact that we're all big fans of the Nomad Tech Project. I was watching it last night and really enjoyed it, as I always do. As you said on the show when you name-checked me, I do watch it late. I hardly ever watch it live because I want to sit and relax in front of the telly. So I watched it about 11 o'clock in the evening. And I was actually quite surprised to see that you started at 9 o'clock because I thought you started at 8 o'clock. And in the winter, it was 7 o'clock.
It all depends on Sam, really, because it's in the middle of the day for him, so it depends what he's got going on.
Right.
If he's returning back from a trip or if he's got to go and see family, we might go earlier. So it all depends, really.
Right.
And I can be quite flexible on a Sunday evening, so it's easy for me. He's got the raw end of the stick.
And I do check that out, Nomad Tech Project, which is now part of Podhub UK, of course, which is where you can find links to all of our other stuff and all the other members of Podhub UK. Phones Show Chat with two S's in the middle is our website, phoneshowchat.uk, so don't forget to head across there. You can also buy me a coffee if you're feeling very kind and friendly, and that's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you find, and if you are feeling even more generous, you can buy Joe one too at paypal.me/Hickey85. MeWe Group is where it all happens. If you get lost, it's tedsalmon.com, and you'll find links to all the MeWe groups and all the audio podcasts over there. So, yeah, we'll be back next week to talk with the lovely Jim Fowle again about all that stuff we referenced earlier in the show. And we'll be back on Thursday for our PSC photography podcast. So if you've got any stuff that you'd like us to discuss on that, be it from phones or cameras, then do follow the links in the MeWe group to the album and chuck your stuff in there, and we'll have loads of stuff to talk about. Are you free to join us this week, Thursday, Joe, or are you working?
No, I am actually off, so I could join, actually.
Cool. That should be good. Okay, then. So that's about it, really. We'll catch you next week, and have a good one. We'll see you then. Bye for now.
Goodbye.